city for disaster.
E-book. Gee whiz. Om Agnatam Nandasyad Sanajana Sulakaya Chaksu Sumitam Jana Tazvai Sri Yulay Nama Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadam Ayam Vidati Sapanati. Anishya Kaupa Dugas Chaya Kripa Sindhu Bhaya Vichha Titram Bhavane Yo Parishane Yo Namo Nama. We're continuing where we left off last year. We completed the 20th chapter of the 10th canto. Does anyone remember the subject matter of the 20th chapter? Yeah, the description of autumn. And in the description of autumn chapter, there is a description of the rainy season, because the rainy season in Vrindavan precedes the autumn, and the hot summer season precedes the rainy season. So the description was of the rainy season, and in the midst of that chapter, there was a description of Krishna's pastimes in the rainy season. And we went into the caves of Govardhan Hill, and performed so many pastimes. And then towards the end of the chapter, there's a description of autumn, which was after the rainy season. And then that was the end of chapter 20. And then the 21st chapter describes something of the description of the activities of the autumn season. And the specific activities it's going to describe here in the 20th chapter is the reaction of the gopis when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute. Because each day, Krishna goes into the forest, and Characharan Ugan, he herds the cows. Now, there is such a simple activity on one level that someone is herding cows in the autumn season, and where there is neither too hot nor too cold. But this is not in any way simple, nor is it in any way ordinary, because the person acting in this way is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, what we're going to hear, Mataji, and maybe you can sit, not right in front then, maybe you can sit somewhere else, then it'll be easier. So, what we are going to get now in this 20th chapter is a description of the greatest lovers of Krishna, the greatest devotees, the highest, most pure and complete lovers of Krishna. And this is very, very difficult to understand, in fact, because their love is so pure and so high, but it externally it resembles the activities of the material world, but it actually has nothing at all to do with the activities of the material world. The activities of the material world, the loving activities, are what is called in the language of Chaitanya Charitamrita Atma Endriya Priti. That means that they are centered on gratifying one's own senses. Atmendriya Priti Vansha Tare Bali Kam. And therefore, because they are centered on the false ego, self-centered, they are called kam or lust. And on the other hand, completely on the other hand, in a completely different consciousness, Krishnendriya priti, icha, dari, premanam. When the center is fully focused on Krishna and the attempt has not a tinge of selfishness, but it is all centered around pleasing Krishna's senses, then that activity is called prema, or spiritual love, or the highest position of spiritual love. And it is compared, the happiness that the soul achieves through prema is compared in the Bhakti Samhita Sindhu Nectar Devotion by Srila Srila Swami and his Bhavarta Deepika commentary on the Bhagavatam. He says, or Rupa Goswami quotes him as saying, that if you take the highest happinesses of this world and multiply it by a billion, then one gets a glimpse of what Brahmananda is, the happiness of losing one's material miseries and identifying with the spiritual. If you multiply material happiness towards a billion, you can get a glimpse in Chandra Shaka Nyaya. It is something like the happiness of Brahmananda. But if you take that Brahmananda and multiply it by a billion, you get a glimpse of what bhava bhakti is, and therefore bhava bhakti is called moksha lagudakrit. Bhava bhakti minimizes the value of liberation. And then that bhava bhakti, which is a million times a million, or a billion times a billion, the happinesses of this world, and that is considered prem ankur, or the seed, like a sprout. Bhava is compared to the sprout of prem being the actual full-blown tree and fruit. So how is it that we, here in the material world, only experiencing the happinesses of the material world, how is it that we can possibly understand the prema bhakti that the residents of Vrindavan experience? We can think that we understand what it is, but actually we're only understanding our own mind, basically. We're not understanding what these spiritual, incredibly pure spiritual emotions are like. But we can get a glimpse of it by hearing this part of the Bhagavatam. But we should be very careful and not think that this has anything to do with the dealings between young boys and young girls in the material world. It has nothing to do with that. This is love. Krishnendriya priti icha dhare premanam. This is prema. This is what the gopis of Vrindavan, indeed every resident of Vrindavan, experiences this in relationship to Krishna. But here the topmost devotees, the young gopis, the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan, are going to be described. Previously in the 10th canto, the ecstatic dealings between Krishna and his parents were described. And just earlier, which is Sudavatsalya Prem, and then earlier, just prior to this section of the Bhagavatam, the pure Sakyaras is described, the friendly dealings between Krishna and the devotees. And now the dealings in Sringaras, the Madhuryaras, or the conjugal affection is going to be described. Now, to give us a glimpse of what the love of such Uttama Bhagavats are like, there are references by the Acharyas to the 11th canto, where the Navayogendras describe, or King Nimi asks the question. He asked them to the great sages, the Navayogendras are the sons of Rishabhdev, yes. There are Paramhamsa sons of Rishabhdev, 9 of them. So he had asked them, they had visited him in the court, and he had asked them to describe the symptoms of the devotees. What are the different qualities, kinds of devotees, different levels of devotees? So after describing the in a very, very simple and basic way, the what is the kanista, and then the madhyam, and then the uttama, the lower class, and then the middle class, and then the topmost devotees, he asked to describe the symptoms in more details. Please describe those symptoms and characteristics by which Vaishnava has become dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wants to know in greater detail, the king does. So, one of the Navayoganis is Havya, says, Sarvabhuteshu yapashed Bhagavad Bhavamatmana Bhutani Bhagavatyatmani Esha Bhagavata Uttama. So he, this is the description. Esha means this. This is the Bhagavata, the devotee, Uttama, the topmost devotee. So this is what he says. The most advanced devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So we take this very literally. He sees within everything. Everywhere he looks, what does he see? He sees the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. He doesn't see anything other than Krishna. This is the highest type of realization of Brahman, because the Brahman, those in Brahman realizations, they everywhere they don't. It's not that they look and see, because they are, there's only one substance, basically. So this one substance is not qualityless, but everywhere. The varieties, the lovers of Krishna, the top, the Bhagavata Uttama, they see Krishna in everything. This is such a high degree of love that there is nothing, there is no room for anything in their consciousness other than Krishna. This is love, the highest degree of love. So this is the first characteristic. They see within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he, this Bhagavata Uttama, sees everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord. So they don't see anything separate from Krishna, and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. Nothing is separate from Him. Everything is connected to Him. Everything has a relationship with Him. And when they see anything, they are seeing Him in a different aspect. This is the nature of love. They don't see anything as separate from Him. And therefore, although externally it appears to be the simple dealings between young boys and young girls, it's actually the highest exhibition of love that we're going to hear. So this is what the subject matter of this section and this verse of the Bhagavatam, starting in 21 and going to chapter 33. This is a very intimate, most intimate revelation of what love actually is. Because some people in this world, they'll say, oh, I love God. Or sometimes we may think, I am a devotee. But this is what it means to love God. This, Sukadeva Goswami, Srila Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, they are describing the standard that which is the prema, prema pamarto mahan, the prayojana tattva. This is the necessity, this is the goal. This is what we're actually longing for, to be in love with Krishna in this way. So they see only Krishna. Ishta Deva Spurti. Savatma Ishta Deva Spurti. They see everything. Stavamam Jagamam Deki Nadeki Taramurti Savatra. Something Hoya Ishta Deva Spurti. Whether something is moving or not moving, when they see it, they only see it as a manifestation of their Ishtadeva, of their beloved Lord. Now to this verse, we'll just read a few very short, by Jiva Goswami. He has quoted the following verses which illustrate the ecstatic feelings of the topmost devotees of the Lord. So this is a very... So this description that we just heard is very philosophical. When we think of love, we don't think of philosophy. We think of feelings, very, very intense feelings. So Srila Jiva Goswami gives some examples which illustrate the Bhagavad Uttama's ecstatic feelings from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. The first example he gives is 10.35.9. This is from the... what's the name of that chapter? Jiva Gita 35... The gopis sing of Krishna as he wanders in the forest. This is Krishna is in the forest taking care of the cows, and the gopis, this is after they've met each other, and the gopis are in the village doing the household chores, but all they are doing, all they are thinking of, their complete absorption is in Krishna. It doesn't make a difference if they're with him or not with him. They're only simply absorbed in Krishna. This is love. So the first example of this Bhagavat Uttama is given by Jiva Goswami. It's one of the verses, the 9th verse in that chapter. Vanalatas taravatmani vishnum vyanjayantya iva pushpa paladhyā Pranata Bharavatapta Madhudara Premarishta Tanavova Vritsyusma. The creepers and flowers of the forest, their branches weighed down by the rich coverings of flowers and fruits, seem to manifest Lord Vishnu within their hearts. Krishna was manifesting in the hearts of all the plants and flowers and creepers and branches in the Vrindavan forest. Because Krishna was walking through that forest with the cowherd boys. And Krishna was walking and they were in... Krishna was in the heart of these great lover trees and plants and flowers. Now this is going to be described in the next verse, because this is the example to describe what it's like being a lover of Krishna. That Krishna is erupting, or there's ecstatic love always erupting in the heart. Exhibiting eruptions of ecstatic love upon their bodies, they pour down rains of honey. So this is what the gopis are seeing. They're seeing the ecstatic manifestations of all the trees and creepers of Vrindavan. Another example from this, the song of the flute, the Venu Gita, chapter 21. Nadyas tarata rupadarya makunda gitam avarta lakshita manobhava bhagna vega Alingana stagitam omibujabun murari gvenanti pada jugalam kamala appahara. Hearing the song of Lord Mukunda's flute, so this is what the gopis are seeing. They're not actually seeing it. They're seeing this in their hearts, in their minds, because they're in the village and they're meditating upon Krishna, wandering through the forest. Hearing the song of Lord Mukunda's flute, the rivers then stopped their currents. Although the minds of the rivers could still be ascertained from the presence of the whirlpools. So they're telling what's in their own minds, actually. So the rivers, when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, they stop their flowing. So when something stops its movement, say if I'm angry and I'm running forward, then my movement is portraying or revealing my mind. I'm running forward with my teeth clenched, and this is what's described in the Nectar Devotion, the different sattvika bhavs and sanchari bhavs, the different manifestations of the internal ecstasy that the devotees, the residents of Vrindavan, are feeling. So when something stops or is stunned, how do you recognize its ecstasy? The gopis, they're seeing the whirlpools of the river Jamuna, and they're saying that this is giving away the mind of the rivers as they ecstatically approach Krishna when Krishna enters the river. It's spinning. And this is exactly what's happening to the gopis' minds. With the arms of their waves, the rivers seize the two lotus feet of Murari, taking help from the lotus plants, and thus he became trapped in their embrace. So the lotus flowers are being offered to the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is what the gopis are seeing. They're seeing the river, but they're not seeing the river. They're seeing love for Krishna being manifest. Only. That's all they see. This is the topmost Uttama Bhagavat. And then Srila Jiva Goswami gives another example from the 10th canto, in the final chapter of the 10th canto, in the prayers of the queens of Dwarka, very famous verse that Mahaprabhu brought to the attention of the world. Kuradivalapsi tvamvita nidrana seshe swapita jagati ratta Tryam Mishvaro Gupta Bodha Vayam Mivasaki Kachit Gandana Vidya Chaitana Lina Nayana Asodara Lalikshitena. Dear Kurari. Kurari is a type of bird. And the queens of Dwarka, they're with Krishna at night. And they're together, but they're wide awake in the middle of the night. They can't sleep because they're fearing separation from Krishna. Even when they are with Krishna, the nature of the manifestation of their love for Krishna, their spiritual love, their ecstatic spiritual love, is that they're experiencing separation from Krishna in His presence. Usually, we experience separation from someone when they are not with us. Varaha Bhav. But this high manifestation of the queens of Dwarka and their love, this prema vachitya, it's called technically, is experiencing separation in the presence of beloved Krishna. We can try and imagine what this is like in our mind. But we cannot, in fact, understand it. Dear Kurari, so the queens are there in Dwarka. They're wide awake at night, and they're hearing a night singing bird, the Kurari bird, and they say, now it is very late at night. Everyone is sleeping. The whole world is now calm and peaceful. At this time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sleeping, although His knowledge is undisturbed by any circumstance. Then, O Kurari, why are you not sleeping? Why are you lamenting like this throughout the whole night? Dear friend, is it that you are also attracted by the lotus eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by His sweet smiling and attractive words, exactly as we are? So they're seeing their own bhav, their own mood in the birds. The gopis were seeing their own mood in the rivers, in the trees of Vrindavan. Do these dealings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead pinch your heart as they do ours? So these are the three examples that Vishwanath Chakravarti, that Jiva Goswami gave, of the way that these Bhagavata Uttamas, the most exalted devotees, lovers of Krishna, how they are never a moment without experiencing Krishna. This is the highest of subject matters. Now, the comment continues to discuss Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment on this text. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has also given Mother Yasoda as an example of an Uttama Adhikari. For Mother Yasoda actually saw all living beings within the mouth of Krishna during the Lord's Vrindavan Leela. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also points out in his commentary, Atra pashed iti tata darshana yogya taiva vavikchita natu tata darshyasya sava kalikita. In this verse, the word pashed, or one must see, does not mean that at every moment one is visualizing the form of Krishna. Rather, it means that one has reached the exalted platform of devotional service in which he is fit to see, or is capable of seeing Krishna's form, because that's referring to the verse itself, that he sees everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord. He sees Krishna in everything, this Bhagavad Uttama. If only those who constantly see the form of Krishna are to be considered Uttama Arakaris, Uttama Bhagavats, Narada, Vyasa, and Sukadeva cannot be considered topmost devotees, since they do not always see the Lord everywhere. Of course, Narada, Vyasa, and Sukadeva are considered to be on the highest standard of pure devotional service, and therefore the real qualification is tadrikshadikya, or having, please listen to this, this is the qualification for being the highest level of devotee, is tadrikshadikya, having an overwhelming desire to see the Lord. For the residents of Vrindavan, they cared for nothing in existence except to see Krishna, to be with Krishna, to serve Krishna. Nothing else had any importance. Sunyayatam, everything else was sunya, or zero for them. This is love. This is not kam. This is not kamendriya priti vancha. This is not anything selfish. It is purest, the purest of love. Srila Narottama Das Thakur compares this love, or prema bhakti, to gold purified in 100 flames, purified, melted, the impurities rising to the top, the impurities removed, then it's cooled, and then melted, heated again, and then some impurities, perhaps less, come to the top, and that's removed. And then again, and again, and again, and again, 100 times melted and purified, impurities removed, rejected, all to be able to serve Krishna again and again, finer and more subtle impurities removed. False ego removed gradually. Love developed gradually. It takes its time. It takes its time. But this is the Krishna consciousness movement, Krishna bhakti rasata bhavato mati. This is Mahaprabhu's gift. Now he gives an example. So again, he says that the real qualification, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, of being on the highest state of love is tadadrikshadikya, or having an overwhelming desire to see the Lord. Overwhelming desire. Not even going through the intelligence or the mind. It's overwhelming. It is love. Therefore, the statement of Bhagavad Gita that a devotee should see Krishna everywhere, yomam pashyati sarvatra, can be understood in terms of the example of a lusty man thinking that the world is full of beautiful women. Because when one has that mind, that's all one sees. When one has a money mind, that's all one sees. Did you ever have, when you're looking for cars, if your mind is on cars, you look everywhere and you see only cars. When your mind's on computers, you see computers. So similarly, taken to the highest example, the purest example, when one has an overwhelming desire to see Krishna, when one's love is developed to that degree, that's all that one sees. Similarly, one should become transcendentally so desirous of seeing the Lord that one can perceive within the entire universe nothing but Krishna and his potency. This is what it means to be a devotee. A little more of what, one more sentence of what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, two more sentences. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has warned us, however, that a mere theoretical or academic understanding that Krishna is everything does not qualify one as a first-class devotee. It is not an intellectual exercise. One must actually have developed love for Krishna. That is the natural manifestation of the consciousness that naturally overwhelms one in such a way that one sees nothing but Krishna. Now, so there are some verses here in this second chapter of the 11th canto that further describe the, in answer to Maharaj Nimi's question, the characteristic of the Uttama Bhagavat. But there is one verse that really, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, that really comments specifically on that verse that we just read, which describes that he sees the Lord everywhere. The Uttama Bhagavat sees the Lord everywhere, and he sees nothing but the Lord, and the Lord is always within him. He is seeing nothing but Krishna, and Krishna is always within him. So this is the 55th verse of the same chapter that comments or further describes in more detail that verse. Because it's important to understand this to understand what we're going to be hearing quite soon about the gopis' love for Krishna. They are on this topmost platform. They're seeing Krishna everywhere. They're seeing everything in Krishna. Krishna is in within them. So here is some more information about the mood of the gopis, these topmost devotees. Vishvijati vidayam deyasya sapshad dadi avasa vidito api ahognanasha pranaya rasanaya dritangri padma sambhavati bhagavata pradhanukta. So it's called this is the Bhagavata Pradhan, the topmost devotee. Pradhan means the first class, the first one. And Bhagavata means the devotee. So this is more in this definition of what the first class devotee is like. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the conditioned souls that if they call upon him by speaking his holy name, even unintentionally or unwillingly, the Lord is inclined to destroy innumerable sinful reactions in their heart. So if someone just chants Krishna's holy name, even unwillingly, unintentionally, this Abhas, the holy name doesn't manifest its full potency, but yet Krishna, by his mercy, by the mercy of the holy name, so much of the potency of the holy name is manifested that unlimited sinful reactions within the heart of the person are destroyed. So this is a person who has no relationship with Krishna. And this is how Krishna reciprocates with someone who calls his name but has no relationship with him. So therefore, just imagine how he reciprocates with the Braja Gopis or the topmost devotees who call out to him not out of neglect, unwillingly or casually, but just imagine how he reciprocates with such souls, such persons, such pure persons who call out to him with the greatest love, the greatest and the purest love, like gold purified in 100 flames, 100 times. We can't imagine how he reciprocates with them. If he reciprocates by destroying all the sins of someone who just casually or neglectfully or unwillingly calls his name, just imagine how he reciprocates with the greatest of those who love him, who call to him with love. Just imagine. So here we're going to get a glimpse of that in the verse spoken by that Havir, and then we're going to later or soon hear of how the gopis see, and later on in the 10th canto we're going to hear that Krishna, in fact, naparyeham, he feels himself incapable. God, the Supreme Param Ishwara, feels himself, considers himself incapable of reciprocating with them. And therefore, bhakti in Vrindavan, the specific flavor of the Braja Bhakti, it defeats the Supreme Personality of Godhead and subjugates him, because it is so full and so pure and so selfless. Defeats Krishna's ability to reciprocate. So here's the second part of the verse. So the Lord is inclined to destroy innumerable sinful reactions in the hearts of one who chants Namabhas unwillingly, just casually, unintentionally. Therefore, when a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never give up the heart of such a devotee. What does that mean? It means that Krishna becomes captured in their hearts. And therefore that verse that we read, that Jiva Goswami said from the Jugal Gita, from the 35th chapter of the 10th canto, how the gopis were seeing that the trees of Vrindavan and the bushes of Vrindavan were pouring out ecstasy because they had captured the Lord in their heart. Because they had captured the Lord in their heart. And he was always performing pastimes in there. This is not cheap. The price is everything. And purify that 100 times until we understand what everything or love actually is. So therefore, when a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, The Supreme Personality of Godhead can never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who has thus captured the Supreme Lord within his heart is to be known as Bhagavata Pradhan, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. And the gopis of Vrindavan, the Braja gopis, and all the residents of Vrindavan, but here the topic will come gradually to the Braja gopis. This is what we're going to see, and we have to see that in the words that they speak. The pure love and how they're simply seeing Krishna in everything, everywhere, and the result of this vision, the result of this love, is that they completely capture Krishna. Now, Srila Srila Swami comments on this verse and says, according to Srila Srila Swami, the essence of a pure devotee's qualification is given in this verse. They so much love Krishna that they have captured him in their heart. And that's the qualification. A pure devotee is one who has attracted the Lord by his love so that the Lord cannot give up the devotee's heart. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, because the verse was Visri Jati Vidayam Nayasya Shakshad. Shakshad means directly, or the Lord Himself, we say, Shakshad Hari. Shakshad means directly, so the Srila Prabhupada is Shakshad Hari. Directly, He is directly Hari. So, Srila Jiva Goswami, the word Shakshad in this verse indicates that a pure devotee has realized knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord has situated in his heart, having given his heart to the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is all attractive in six opulences, including beauty. So a person who has this kind of a heart, who has Krishna situated in his heart, can he be attracted to anything of this material world? More of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment on this verse. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has nicely explained the process of bringing the Supreme Lord under control. Mother Yasoda bound the child Krishna to a grinding mortar with a rope. Krishna, being attracted by the inconceivable love of his devotees, allowed himself to be bound. Therefore, although Lord Krishna binds all the conditioned souls by the chains of his illusory potency, Maya, if those same conditioned souls become pure devotees of the Lord, they can in turn bind Krishna by the chains of love of God. Not only did Mother Yasoda bind Krishna, but Krishna, when she had bound him and she was holding a stick, because he had just broken the butter in yogurt pots, and he had stolen the butter, and he had fed it to monkeys, and he had eaten what he wanted. He was running away. But when Mother Yasoda was holding up the stick, Krishna was crying out of fear. When Kunti Devi was thinking of this pastime, she was astounded at the inconceivable nature of the Lord, because this same Lord, this same Krishna, universes, aham savasya prabhavo sutre manigana iva, that all of existence rests upon him. Think about what that means. We can't, of course, conceive of it. But think of what it means that everything that it exists rests upon his potency. Aham savasya prabhavo, that everything emanates from him. Mama angsa tejo sambhava. Everything that exists, yad yad vibhuti mat, sattvam srimad orjitam evava. This is just a small part of Krishna's potency. And yet, the Supreme Lord is crying real tears out of fear when Mother Yasoda lifts her stick to him. Now try to understand that. But this is the power of Brajabhakti. We can't understand it, but it is still so awesome and so wonderful. We can get a glimpse of what is actually going on in Vrindavan. The purity of the different pastimes. It is based on love and how Krishna, all the devotees in Vrindavan, regardless of what it appears that they're doing, how they're dressing, how they're cooking, how they're doing this, how they're doing that, there's only one thing that is going on. They're trying to please Krishna with this quality of love. And from Krishna's side, he is situated within them, and he is simply trying to increase their ecstasy. There is a competition of loving service. This is all that's going on in Vrindavan. This is the leelas, the pastime. It is not cheap. It is the most impossible thing to enter into. It is the most difficult thing. We cannot conceive of it with our mundane, tiny minds, because all we can see is what we experience in this world, which is matter. But yet, by hearing about these pastimes, we become attracted and we want to love. And Srila Jiva Goswami said something very wonderful. He says that the beginning of faith is when we hear pastimes or the activities of Krishna and we have a doubt. Maybe this is true. And he said, that's the beginning of faith. That's the beginning of Shraddha. Could this part, maybe it could be true. And that's where it begins. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, all the world's inauspicious conditions due to sinful activities can be immediately eradicated by the chanting of the Lord's holy names. So this is the introduction that I wish to give before starting this most exalted topic. That first of all, we should not misunderstand what is going on in Vrindavan and not think that it has anything to do with the dealings of the material world. This is, everyone's engaged in the dealings of the material world, but this is the most exalted, rarefied, purest of things. It is love. It is love at its highest, without a tinge of atma indriya priti, not a tinge of lust or selfishness. It is love, just simply the most rarefied pure desire to satisfy Krishna. Okay. Krishna willing, tomorrow we'll begin the first verse and we'll hear some descriptions of Vrindavan after the rainy season, in the autumn season. Thank you very much. Questions or comments?
Let's hear everyone's shloka from Bhagavatam, confirming what is the importance here of good name. It says, Jyanvat Appa Jyanvat Uttam Shloka Nam Yad Sankirtatam Adham Puncho Dahe Yatha Ananda. Meaning, simple meaning is that whether you know it or whether you do not know it, the name sung and chanted Pratham Shaloka, God, Krishna. Will burn away the sins as the grass is burned away by a great flame.
That's Abbas too. How wonderful. When you get the 12th canto, is that, yeah, bring me the last verse of the Bhagavatam.
The last verse is...
You know that one?
I do.
good. Bolie. Namaste, Kitana. Yes, say. Pranamo. Tam namami hari param. Yes. Translation.
The translation is also very simple. That Nam Sankirtanam Yasya, who is the Sankirtana of whose name, Nam Sankirtanam Yasya, Sarva Papa Pranashanam, destroys all sins. Only chanting of his holy name destroys all sins. Pranamo Dukasham Nastam, just by paying obeisances to him, all the dukkha sins, misery, are also lost and destroyed. Pranamo Dukasham Nastam, Namami Harantaram. So I bow before such a great friend.
I'll read the translation if it's okay. I offer my. This is the final verse of the Bhagavatam. Spoken by Srila Sukha Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material sufferings. So a glorification of the Lord and His holy names, which are Abhina Tvam. They are none different. Any more verses?
Kama Sarva Kama, all that sort of, you know, the famous verse.
Yes.
Just concentrates on the holy names, potency.
Yeah. And Tivena Bhakti Yogi, worship of the Lord. Really? You have a verse for us?
And in this age, who takes that? It's all Krishna, it's Sankirtan. Did that be his sumeris? Those who are very intelligent.
Those who are very intelligent know how fallen they are, and therefore they and how hopeless they are, and therefore they take shelter. Namasraya kore jatanatumi. They hold on to the holy names, take shelter.
Sometimes hearing about how the queens stay awake all night, and they just seems like from the material. They just worry all night, and then all day, what do? It doesn't sound like the conception of happiness that the ordinary person looks forward to.
Well, the ordinary person's conception of happiness that they look forward to is pretty superficial. It's like having a huge TV screen, a plasma screen that's this big and unlimited, and owning your own easy video store so you can watch any video you want. What is the conception of happiness? This is spiritual. This has nothing to do with the materialistic conception of happiness. This is intimate association with Krishna in their hearts. They're associating with Krishna in the most intimate way. But the materialist has no access into this. But it is the highest ecstasy. When the residents of Vrindavan are experiencing separation from Krishna, they're completely associating with Krishna. completely associated with him. So here, the queens are associating with Krishna, experiencing separation from Krishna, and associating with him in the separation. An uppercut separation, because it takes the flame of separation to bring one to that association. So of course a materialistic person, and there's different levels of materialistic people. There's the grossest materialistic people. What's the verse? Everyone can understand except the Vashugna from the second chapter. Bhavo Shado Shutabhama Bharamat Kal Tamasoke Gunanavanat. Something was eight bina prasugna. That the grossest of materialistic, the animal eaters, they won't get a taste. Even this, what does this have to do with happiness? I want to go out and go to the pub and drink and fight with someone. So what can a materialistic person understand? And then even the subtle, more materialists, the ones in the mode of goodness, this doesn't appeal because it's not peaceful in the same way as they like the Shanta Bhaktas. But this is something on a completely different level. That perhaps, if we are very fortunate by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and by the mercy of Gaura Nithai, that we could get the slightest like fragrance of it through hearing the Bhagavatam. It somehow like pierces through the dull depths of our covered consciousness. Some little fragrance can come through, and then, oh, maybe this is true. You know, maybe this is wonderful. So this, something about it seems extraordinary. And that's enough to bring one forward. But this is beyond material enjoyment. It is moksha lagudakrit. The glimmer of this minimizes liberation. The more one tries to be happy in this world, the more miserable one becomes. So naturally one desires liberation, but the happiness of this, if you divide it by a billion, you get the happiness of a drop of liberation. You get it. If you take the happiness of prema bhakti and divide it by a billion, you get a drop of what. And if you take that drop and compare it to liberation, and it's like you're getting an ocean of the liberation, of the happiness that's available. And so much so that the devotees, this Kaivalya Nidakayate, they consider liberation like hell. And the people who have liberation, they consider material happiness like hell. So how can they understand what this is? Only by some extreme mercy. Oh, let me Krishna Lila in. How does he satisfy everyone? He allows us. First of all, we can't understand exactly what goes on there, or how it happens. All this goes on by the Krishna's internal potency, and we can only understand. We can't even understand how this world works. What to speak of understanding how it all works in that world. Right now, like, how did you get here to the temple? Okay, you walked. But the Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavad Gita, says that kartaham iti manyate, that if you think you did it, you're completely bewildered. So how can you understand even this world? You were walked here by the external energy. But just as you had the feeling that you did it, even though you actually didn't do it, you're this teeny soul in this, you know, that thing. And imagining something. What's really going on is going on by the potency of Krishna's internal and external energy here, Maya Shakti. So in the spiritual world, there's something similar or parallel. Well, this world's a reflection of that. That everyone is acting in that world and thinking they're doing things, but everything is actually going on by Krishna's internal energy. So, and Krishna himself doesn't sit there and figure out who's going to do what. But this is all goes on. He's the center of everything, and all the energies just serve his pleasure, and he's serving everyone else's pleasure. So, how does Krishna organize to keep every soul happy, and how does he reciprocate with everyone according to their desires? Only he can do that, because he's the all-powerful, supreme personality of Godhead. And he is Rasaraj. He knows how to. He's the king. That's his business. He knows just how to play in the spiritual world so that everyone's ecstasy is forever increasing. So he does his business very well. The problem is that we don't do our part very well. So, but we should be hopeful in chanting, hopeful about Krishna's mercy. That's our hope, the mercy of the devotees. In the future, too. He removes all the sins that they've committed in the past and the future.
Wow.
Huh?
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty cool, huh? But don't take advantage. I'm not talking, I'm sorry. Sorry, Mata. That's what Prabhupada would say. Don't take advantage, because then it's namaparad.
Does that mean destroys the
yes.
reaction to sleep, or the
sin? Both. All. But not the parabdha karma. Not the... Because that's required. The body. If we had no sin, we wouldn't be alive. Because our body is just sarira vidyajal. So this is given so that we can perform sadhana bhakti, accept whatever sinful reactions that we have. And Krishna gives them to us, and we perform our sadhana bhakti. Sarva papachai. Nama basa hoite hai, sarva papachai. There's a very elaborate commentary on this by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Ajamil pastime. Where he says Ajamil was freed from sin at the first time he chanted his son's name, not at the moment of death. It's quite astounding. Very good. Very fortunate. As Prabhupada said, he saw a newspaper that said something nasty about Hare Krishna. And he said, saying Hare Krishna is bad is good. That was his comment. But not that we should try to get them to say it's bad, but the future is good.
By mere chanting, the Lord is being worshipped in Kali Yuga.
Yeah, Sankirtan Yoga. Therefore, the going out in Harinam Sankirtan is very important. It's just spreading the benediction of Mahaprabhu. The people may like it, they may not like it, but the effect is incredible.
And for someone who's attempting to chant and they're still experiencing sinful desire, does that represent their corrupt karma?
Obviously.
Can you explain that?
What?
Because we hear so much glorification, and Ajahn was freed from sins just by one time chanting.
It's like a shadow of that. But that's a shadow of that. It's like a shadow of the sinful reactions to make us humble, to give our chanting more potency when we realize, oh, I'm such a fallen soul, I need the shelter of the holy names. To call out to the Lord with feeling. Krishna never leaves the devotee who once calls out to him consciously. Okay, last question.
This part of karma and the devotee goes through, and the first part of this country is stronger than his name.
If he reacts properly. But whether he acts properly or reacts improperly, Krishna doesn't let go of him. But it's a fortune. It's just a matter of time. Tomorrow we'll go to Vrindavan.